incident in the story of our soul's years. Some books are like that. Others that have similarly made me, so to speak, stop short are Mircea Kosky's Forerunner and Olly Schreiner's Woman and Labour. Mrs. Humphrey Ward's Robert Elsmere did so too, also Wordsworth's poetry. I wish you would read the two former. The Forerunner illustrates strikingly the contrast between convention and insight, between progress and tradition. Woman and Labour is very much an expanded version of Lindell's remarks on the position of women. I think I am a little like Lindell, and would probably be more so in her circumstances, uncovered by the thin veneer of polite social intercourse. But how you should think me like her, and why you see any resemblance, I cannot imagine. The book is so wonderful because it is so like life. Nothing is nicely wound up, and everything left in the unsatisfactory state things are always left in this world. I am coming to speech day right enough. In fact, if I can summon up enough courage to face your confessedly merciless criticism of feminine attire, I may even wear a new frock for the occasion.
Uppingham, 30th of May, 1914. I have been told several times that among the foremost of my vices stands an infinite capacity for leaving letters unanswered for an unpardonable length of time. Please forgive my having lived up to my reputation once again. It was too bad of Edward to trouble you with exaggerated bulletins on my melancholic condition, as he seems to have done. As a matter of fact, my depression is more apparent than real, and has been succeeded by the careless Omar Khayyam-esque make the best of your last term feeling, diluted a little, perhaps, with the sadness of conscious failure and the still sadder disillusionment of success. I suppose I shall become very sad to leave this place by the time the end of July is here. At present, I do not feel particularly depressed by the prospect. Edward will feel it much more than I shall, I think, if only because his life here has been less egotistic and self-centered. I have a confession to make. I have not yet read more than about 90 pages of The Forerunner. I took it out of the library a day or two before I came back here, and after keeping it nearly 3 weeks, I had to send it back without having had time to read more than one or two pages since the beginning of term. I am going to send for it again soon, when I have less work to do than at present. I promise that whatever happens, I will read it before speech day comes. And you, and the new frock.
Buxton, 22nd of June, 1914. Dear Roland, Edward tells me you are going to carry off half the prizes in the school on speech day, so perhaps it is just as well I am coming, if only to make sure that the quiet voice is not in evidence. You will need someone to help you carry the books. If I gave you my assistance, it would really be the crowning point to a most effective proceeding.
Uppingham, 5th of July, 1914. Dearest Mother, I have discovered that it is my special prerogative to be second or third in everything I do. It is apparent in my position in the house, the school, and the orchestra, and other things, and strangely uniform. I am much troubled that I have only 3 weeks more here. I cannot bear the thought of leaving, nor could I really bear to stay. Most quixotic and paradoxical. But I shall not forget, Uppingham. Your loving son, Edward.
Diary, 10th of July, 1914. The journey to Uppingham was terribly hot, and the day gorgeous. Edward arrived in the midst of our unpacking muddle, looking very tall and well. He had supper with us, and then went off to a choir and orchestra practice, while we wandered about the town buying sundry provisions. Then we went to the lodge, where I hoped to get a glimpse of the person on whose account, even more than Edward's, I must confess, I have come, Roland Layton. We went along the dark quad, past the lighted windows, until Edward tapped at Roland's and said a visitor wanted to see him. As soon as I saw his plain, intelligent face and dark, expressive eyes again, I knew I had not overrated their attraction for me. I stood teasing and mocking him, and telling him I would look out for every